my dear friends in Christ. Today we celebrate the feast of someone who is considered one of the most famous and illustrious of martyrs, who shed their blood for Christ and for the Catholic faith. And we see this especially reflected in the praises which were paid to the feet to the saint of today, Saint Lawrence, and the writings by some of the most ancient and illustrious writers of the Holy Fathers of the Church, more notably Saint Augustine and Saint Ambrose. And we also see how Holy Mother of the Church has greatly honored Saint Lawrence, and especially in her demonstrations of honor towards this champion who prayed for the church upon his red hot gridiron. And we see this reflected in how the church has inserted the name of Saint Lawrence in the canon of the Mass, one of the few saints mentioned in the canon. And we know that also the anniversary of his birth into heaven is celebrated with much solemnity as those of the glorious apostles, with the same privileges of a vigil and an octave in days past. And so the church seems to give these honors to Saint Lawrence and has a special claim upon him in regards to the church in which the relics of Saint Lawrence are kept in Rome, is one of the five top basilicas that belong to the Roman Pontiff, alongside with St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, St. Peter's, the Vatican, and St. Paul's. But when we reflect upon the life of St. Lawrence, there are many things that we can take away from his life and be encouraged by. But just very briefly to go over his life, we know that St. Lawrence was born of Christian parents in the year 225, near a city in Aragon, Spain. So he was a Spaniard. And his mother and his father are both considered and honored as saints in the church. His father's name was Orencius, and his mother's name was Paciencia. And his parents gave St. Lawrence a good education, and from a very early age, St. Lawrence showed many good virtues. He had a great love for God, he had a fearless constancy in the true faith, and he had a watchful care over the preservation of the virtue of purity. And while yet young, he went to Rome, and he won by his blameless life the high regard of all who came in contact with. And it was Pope Sixtus who ordained him a deacon in the year 257. And St. Lawrence's functions were to serve the Pope at the altar, to take charge of the treasures of the church, and to distribute the revenues which were destined for the maintenance of the poor. And it was at this time that a terrible persecution of the Christians took place. And Pope Sixtus was seized and thrown into prison. And it is said that St. Lawrence, when he saw from a distance the Pope being dragged to prison, he ran towards him weeping and asked him, "Father, where are you going without me?" And he asked Pope Sixtus if he could please join him and serve him in dispensing the blood of Christ, so to say. And Pope Sixtus comforted Lawrence and said, "Now is not your time. You will follow me in 3 days hence." And he comforted St. Lawrence, and he asked him to please distribute and to take care of the treasures of the church. And so St. Lawrence, comforted by these words, went immediately and secured the sacred vessels of the altar and the vestments of the priests, and distributed among the poor the money which he had collected for them. In addition to all this, Lawrence went to strengthen and encourage the Christians that were assembled in different houses. He exhorted them to be constant, to be strong in their faith, and to pray and to sacrifice. Now, the following day, when the Pope was being led away to execution, Lawrence yet again approached Pope Sixtus and told him that he had dispensed of all that had been given to his care. He had taken care of the treasures of the church, and he asked if he could please join him. And the Pope said, "Now is not yet your time. You will follow shortly." And it was as the Pope was comforting Lawrence that he was led away and ended his life by the sword. He was put to death. Now, meanwhile, some of the soldiers had heard Lawrence speak of the treasures of the church, and this piqued their curiosity. And so it is that they reported this to the Emperor Valerian, and the tyrant, as avaricious as he was cruel, had Lawrence arrested and gave him in charge of Hippolytus, an officer that was under his care, the care of Valerian, and had Lawrence placed in prison where there were several other prisoners. Now, one of these, by the name of Lucilius, had wept so much during his time in prison that he had become blind. And St. Lawrence took pity on him and advised him and encouraged him to embrace the Catholic faith and be baptized, and by doing so that his sight would be restored. Now, Lucilius followed his advice, and his heart was moved by the grace of God. He received brief instruction in the faith, and soon after, that very day, was baptized by Lawrence, and his sight returned. Now, Hippolytus, the officer who was in charge of the prisoners, witnessed this and saw this, and he was touched by the grace of God as well, by this miracle that he witnessed, and he and his whole household was converted. Now, the next day, the emperor commanded that Lawrence should be brought to him, and the emperor asked him, "Where are these treasures that we heard you speaking about?" And Lawrence addressed Valerian, and he said, "If you give me a little bit of time, I will go and gather these treasures and show them to you." Now, the emperor was quite delighted at this, and so he gave him the desired time and ordered him to go and bring the treasures of the church to him. Now, the saint went and assembled all of the poor that he could find, and he led them to the tyrant and said, "Behold, these are the treasures of our church." And the emperor was greatly enraged by this, and told Lawrence that, and he swore by the gods that he would get his revenge upon Lawrence. And he commanded Lawrence to be handed over to the prefect and tortured in the most painful and cruel manner. And so it is that they dragged St. Lawrence away, and they began to scourge him until his whole body was a mass of blood and wounds. And Lawrence remained constant, and he remained much at peace. And even when they continued to threaten him, he just simply responded, "You cannot frighten me. I have long desired to suffer for the sake of Christ." And hardly had these words passed his lips when the holy man was stretched upon the rack and raised on high, and they continued to scourge him. But his constancy would not be moved. He could not be shaken. And during the entire torture, he turned his eyes to heaven, and he only asked for the strength to be able to endure his fast. And so the prefect and all of these who were torturing him were very much astonished at his heroism. And he continued to remain strong, to remain constant. And when he thought he could last no longer, there was a voice that came from heaven and said, "The still more glorious victory awaits you." And the people were awestruck at this, and they finally put Lawrence back into prison for the night. And it was during this time that the prefect came up with an even worse mode of torture, and he came up with the idea that he would have him slowly roasted and burnt to death. And so it is that the following day, they took Lawrence out of prison, and they had made an iron bed in the form of a gridiron and put live coals under it. And so they stretched and bound the saint upon it, and they slowly roasted him for many, many hours. And all those who were present were much astonished and horrified by this torture. But St. Lawrence laid as quietly on the red-hot gridiron as if he had been on a bed of roses, saying at intervals, "Receive, O Lord, this burnt offering as an agreeable fragrance." And his face shone with a heavenly joy, beamed with a heavenly joy. And the Christians who were present said that there was a divine light that surrounded him in his body during this torture. And as we read in today's epistle, "The Lord loveth the cheerful giver," we see how St. Lawrence had a sense of humor. Because after some time of being roasted on one side, he very humorously turned to the one who was torturing him and said, "The side is cooked well enough, you can now turn me over." And like I said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and you can see that he was very much at peace during all this torture. And after many hours of this, he continued to praise God and thanked him for the grace that was given to him to die for the faith and to die for Christ, to die for God. And at last, with his eyes raised up to heaven, he gave his heroic soul into the hands of his Redeemer on the 10th day of August in the year 258. And as we reflect upon this very beautiful life and this very inspirational life of his, we can take away the fact that we need to be strong, we need to be constant, and we need to be patient and at peace with the sufferings that God sends our way. We have to remember that our sufferings are but a short while, and let us not complain about the weight or the duration of our trials or crosses, but we are encouraged by the life of St. Lawrence to bear them all patiently, because what we suffer is short and it will soon end. And if we are able to suffer these things for the love of God, what beautiful thing that truly is. And so let us pray to St. Lawrence today and ask him to help us to carry our crosses and to suffer for the love of God, as he suffered for the love of Almighty God. And as we especially see the courage and the dignity of St. Lawrence and the love and the service of the poor that he exemplified, realize what the true treasures of the church were, let us remember we as Christians, as followers of Christ, as Catholics, are to be known for our love for our neighbor, for our charity, our love for the poor, and but most especially, our love of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.